Hey everybody, Ben Shaw here. It's bonus podcast time. Because we had two different sermons this past Sunday, we will have two podcast episodes this week, one today and one will release on Thursday. If this is your first time listening to the FUMC Borough podcast, welcome. We are glad that you chose to be a part of our worship experience here at FUMC in Murfreesboro. If you are looking for a place to worship, we would love to have you here. On Sunday morning, we offer two unique worship experiences, both starting at 10:15 a.m. Our modern worship service meets in the Family Life Center, and our traditional worship service meets in our sanctuary. Head on over to fumcm.org to learn about all of the great things we have going on here. We hope that you find today's message meaningful for you in your life. If you do, we ask that you help us out by rating and reviewing our podcast in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And also, tell your friends and family about us. This is a great way that we can live into our mission at FUMC of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him for the transformation of Murfreesboro and the world. Now, here is Chrislyn Durham's sermon entitled, The Good Treasure Entrusted to You, from this week's Modern Worship Service.
One of my favorite things ever since I was a little girl was to receive a letter that was specifically written to me. When I was a kid, my mom, we have the same initials, KPD. And so anytime anything came in the mail to KPD, I was like, this has to be mine. My mom didn't always agree with that sentiment. But I loved getting mail. I love getting mail even more now because it's so much less because of email and other things. But a letter, a simple note, a kind word, something that I will remember. Scribendi once wrote, "A letter is the most basic yet the most flexible mode of correspondence, regardless of its subject matter." Now, letters can be big, but they can also be small. Some can be sentimental, others straightforward and blunt. Some could be a love letter, almost acting like a lifeline, letting the other person know that you're still alive and you're coming home soon. Some could be a letter that provides heartbreak. Postcards could be a way to remember the places that you've been. Some could be about the places that you want to go. Some can be motivational, and some can be instructional. But there is something specific about a letter. You see, it can be a way to remember the past and give instruction for future generations. I'm going to tell you just a little bit about how much of a nerd I really am right now. Over the last 2 days, I have watched The House of Windsor, which is an 8-episode series on the royal family. I'm fascinated by them. But one of the things that I have learned by watching this series is that the letters from the royal family and those closest to them are really what tells the story. A letter. It seems so minor, but a letter, a simple note, a kind word, a word that tells a story. 2 Timothy is one of those letters, written to a specific person, but shared because it seemed important for more than just Timothy to read. Out of all of the letters that Paul wrote, which we believe that he wrote many in the New Testament, 2 Timothy proves to be the most tender. Paul writes to Timothy almost as one who is writing to his beloved son in the faith, even in the midst of his discomfort and pain of being imprisoned. And even in the midst of this suffering, this letter is hopeful and loving and encouraging, while also being a plea for Timothy to come to Paul's aid as he faces his own death. In many ways, it seems that this letter to Timothy, this 2 Timothy, is a farewell letter from Paul to Timothy, telling him everything that he hasn't yet told them. He speaks words of gratitude. He offers instruction, and he charges Timothy with the care and leadership of the growing church. At this time in history, when this letter was written, Christianity was not in a good place. As a whole, leading up to this moment in history, it had never really been in a great place. You see, when you were a Christian, you were often in hiding from someone or something from the moment it came into existence. But now it seems that these times are much darker because the Emperor Nero is in power. Persecution rises. And a general hatred for Christians is spreading throughout the Roman Empire, and it's getting harder and harder to claim the name of Christ. These are times of trouble, of testing, of deep anxiety, of discouragement, and of fear. See, in these moments, Paul needs Timothy just as much as Timothy needs Paul. As they struggle together to find hope in the midst of their own pain and suffering. Beginning today and in the weeks ahead, as we continue to look at 2 Timothy, we have the opportunity and privilege to overhear a beautiful, encouraging word that is full of vulnerability, honesty, and a deep theological reflection from the darkness of a very real prison. So hear these words from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but rather a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purposes and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason, I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until the day what I have entrusted to him.
hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Would you pray with me? Holy God, we are here. We pray that in these next few minutes that you would help us to be fully present and aware of your presence in this place. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Amen. As per Paul's usual in writing, he begins by using words of gratitude, a reminder that he is always in a state of prayer for those who suffer alongside him, but also for others. You see, I believe that one of the gifts that Paul gives to us is a reminder to be in constant prayer, not just for yourself, but for so many others. But then he moves from prayer to remembering. He remembers Timothy's mother and grandmother. He reminds Timothy of the life that they had led and of the faith that they have passed down to him. You see, one of the important things to know here is that Jewish tradition, especially in that time, was often passed down orally. Many people could not read the scrolls. So the faith that they had was passed down to them in the ways that they would live their life and in the words that they spoke. And you see, the faith that they passed down in the words that they spoke wasn't just a package passed down from generation to generation, like, say, a ring or a necklace or a piece of furniture that we so often pass down to those generations beyond us. No, it was a faith which was alive. It was moving, and it moved Timothy. And it was alive in mother and daughter, and then it was alive in Timothy. You see, the faithfulness of Timothy's mother and grandmother offers both a challenge to those who hear, but also a hope for those who waver. And reminding Timothy about those who guided him in his faith, Paul reminds him and every reader of this letter that it is possible to remain faithful, even in the midst of suffering and persecution. Paul then goes on to tell Timothy to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of love, of power, and of self-discipline. Paul is reminding Timothy of the day that Paul ordained him to go and to spread the word, to go and be an apostle, never letting his own cowardice stop him from moving forward, but recognizing the gifts that God has given him when he needed them. Rekindling this gift might not be the same for us as it was for Timothy. You see, rekindling this gift means to stir up the grace and faith and love that we have received and then putting them into practice. We are not in the same place that Timothy and Paul was. We are not in a place where we are persecuted simply for being a Christian, for being Christ followers. But I guarantee you, there are moments, or there will be moments, when your spirit will need to be rekindled, when the fire that once burned within you will turn to just embers, and you will find yourself asking the question, how do I rekindle that spirit? How do I allow God to stir up within us what God has given? For some of us, we may be stirred up every time that we hear the baptismal vows that we made. every time those questions are asked? Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you faithfully participate in the ministries of this church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Or maybe it's in a song, like the ones that we have already sung and will continue to sing this morning. Or a hymn that Paul even spoke in our scripture this morning. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Or maybe it's when you gather to serve in any capacity, or when you gaze out at a clear star-filled sky, or even when you say a prayer. For me, my spirit is rekindled every time that I hear or say the Wesleyan Covenant Prayer. This particular prayer can be found in a lot of different places, but the place that is most comforting to me is in the hymnal. It's hymn number 607. But it's not just a prayer for me. It's a prayer that has shaped who I am in ways that I never thought possible. See, when I came to a moment in my life where I had to decide where I felt God was calling me, I struggled. I fought back. I said no. And it wasn't until I was at a worship service at the Wesley Foundation at Tennessee Tech, and I was sitting on the couch in the lounge, and we had just had our Monday night worship, and it was the first worship of the new year. And Bud said, let us now pray the Wesleyan Covenant Prayer. And the first line of that prayer is, I am no longer my own, but thine. And in that moment, I just had tears rolling down my face because I could not actually say those words without meaning them. And the prayer goes like this. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. A couple years ago, I was commissioned at Brentwood United Methodist Church, which allows me to be able to stand before you and consecrate the sacraments and baptize. And a friend of mine who knows me very well and who has supported me through all of everything that I have been through to get to this moment, they gave me this bag. And I was just like, okay, it was a gift. And I looked at it and I said, did you get me a stole? And I said, you do know I can't wear this until I'm ordained, right? And they said, yes, but we wanted you to have it. And on this stole, it says, I am no longer my own, but thine. So even in my office, I have a constant reminder of the ways that God rekindles my spirit. So the question I have for you is, how does God rekindle your spirit? How do you allow God to rekindle your spirit? Paul finishes his words in this set of scripture by saying to take care of that good treasure that has been entrusted to you. That treasure being the faith that must be adhered, guarded, and protected. The faith in which your spirit that is rekindled lives in. Paul reminds him of that treasure just as he reminds us. He reminds Timothy of the moving power of the Holy Spirit that is embodied in people and words and phrases that are etched out in the lives and in the struggles, not just of the church, but in people around us. In whatever ways that God rekindles our lives, that God rekindles our faith, that God sets us on fire, may they not only inform us, but may they also form us. As we move through this letter that was written to Timothy in the weeks ahead, may we remember that faith is meant to be alive and lived out. And maybe we will remember the words of Mother Teresa. I am a little pencil in the hand of a writing God who is sending a love letter to the world. May it be so in your life, and may it be so in mine. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we are grateful for the gifts that you give us, the treasure that you have entrusted with us. And we pray that in this moment, if there is somebody that has that ember that's just barely glowing, that you may remind them, that you may give them whatever it is they need to just set them a little bit on fire and get them a little more on fire. May you rekindle each of our hearts, each of our spirits. We thank you, O God. Amen.